I'm gonna tell you a story. My boss once called me to her office, and she offered me encouragement and congratulations. Apparently, this was when I was still in nursing. Apparently, she had met with a group of nursing students who mentioned that I was someone whom they looked up to and whom they saw as a role model. And I looked at her stunned, and I heard myself say, "Oh God, no." And then I said, they only say that because they do not know me. I'm not who they think I am, because if they really knew me, they wouldn't say that." And the thing is, I was a Christian at this time. Our sermon series on the ideal boss culminates today, where we're going to look at how God, as the ideal boss, works to restore. And I want you to come with me as I share with you a passage of scripture that you may or you may not be familiar with. And we are going to meet a man whose story resonates with mine. And maybe it's going to be the same for you. And his situation is undoubtedly going to be relatable to many of us. This morning we are in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11. David asked, "Is there anyone left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness to?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still one son of Jonathan's. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He's at the house of Machir, son of Amiel in Lodibar." So King David had him brought up from Lodibar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servants to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of his sons. The ideal boss works to restore. One of the things that every believer should realize is that regardless of the situation or context in which we find ourselves, the plans of God for our life still manifest regardless of the adverse conditions in that environment. Nothing can stop God's plans for the restoration of our lives. And as we approach our text, we find King David, who has finally come into his destiny as king. And one would think that he would now rest, but for him, something seemed to be out of sync. Unfinished business was still to be done. And as he reflected, Jonathan came to his mind. Jonathan, who loved David. Jonathan, who protected David. Jonathan, who was his advocate and his protector. Jonathan, who had ignored all his father's threat to save his friend. Jonathan, his blood brother, whose David had pledged in blood to protect each other and their descendants. And so in the fringes of King David's mind, these precious memories began to linger so much that as he looked at all the kindness God had done to him, he asked the question, is there anyone left of Saul's family? I would like to show him kindness because of Jonathan. And it was there he learned from Ziba that there was one indeed. Jonathan had a son. But the servant goes on and he added this piece of information. He said, the son was crippled in both feet. And he was in a place called Lodibar. Everybody say Lodibar. Lodibar and what it signifies is significant to this text because it is impossible to truly understand the real beauty of this text without understanding what this word means. Lodibar was a place situated in a desolate location of Gilead outside of Jerusalem. It is a transitional place that is significant as it relates to how God will work to restore. And the first thing that we learn is that the ideal boss will always seek us out. This place called Lodibar has a meaning. The prefix lo means no. Dibar means pasture or word or communication. So in Lodibar, there are no pasture, there is no bread, there is no communication, there is no word. It is a place of shame. It is a place of poverty. It is a place of nothing. And it is in this place, Lodibar, that we meet Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. An heir to the throne, living in squalor in such a place. And here is the question, why is Mephibosheth there? Because if we can understand how Mephibosheth got to take up residence in Lodibar, perhaps we can understand how you and I also end up in Lodibar. Mephibosheth's dilemma was rooted in his paralysis. And we learn about his story in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, where word came that the king Saul and his son Jonathan was dead. And so Mephibosheth's nurse, she took him running away to save his life. And in that process, the child fell. 5 years old, fell, injured his leg, which left him crippled for the rest of his life. And he could no longer progress the way he intended. He no longer progressed the way his father intended. And he no longer progressed the way God had even intended for him to live. He was lame in both his feet because someone had dropped him. Have you ever been dropped? A betrayal you didn't perceive? A loss you never expected? News that shook your world? And I can recall the time in my life when someone dropped me so hard that it caught me completely off guard and it left me emotionally crippled for years. And I too took up residence in that place, Lodibar. See, you don't have to be lame in your feet to be crippled. And if we can be honest today, many of us can agree that we are struggling or that we have struggled with the same kind of cripple because either someone we trusted dropped us or we did something that caused us to be crippled and crippled for years. Is there anyone here today who knows what it feels like to be damaged for years, to be broken for years, to be twisted for years, to be crying for years, to be hurt for years, to be traumatized for years, all because someone dropped us? Mephibosheth knew what it was like to have post-traumatic stress disorder long before a name was even put to that condition. He knew what it was like to be physically and emotionally crippled. His self-confidence was crippled. His self-esteem was crippled. And so he moved to Lodibar. Lodibar also means no word, no communication. And when we have been dropped badly enough, we don't talk about it. If you have ever been dropped badly enough, you will not tell the story. You will not write a book about it. And you certainly will not testify about it. When you have been dropped like that, it will shut your mouth. Have you ever been so hurt and so wounded that it shut up your mouth? Like it stopped all communication and it left you to just internalize the pain. And we don't verbalize it because there are no words to communicate the despair, the pain, the horror, and the shame. That's Lodibar. Trapped in our own mind as we keep remembering and playing the scene over and over and over again, wishing that we could forget it. Lodibar. We can be dressed up nicely and smell good and look good, put makeups on, put nails on, put those stiletto heels on, put on a suit and tie, and people don't even know that we are living in Lodibar. We can be driving a fancy car, but in Lodibar. Going to work and heading back home in Lodibar. We got married, but still in Lodibar. Had babies, but still in Lodibar. We come to church, we worship God, we fellowship with friends, and still we leave and return home to Lodibar. No support. No nurture, no productivity, no affirmation in Lodibar. Immobilized by fear without the impetus to try again, Lodibar. Never tell your story, never could, never would, could not find the word to even express it, Lodibar. And though we want to tell others that we hurt, we always wonder, what would people think if they knew the truth? Would they believe us if we told them that we were not born to feel weak or unstable or nervous or anxious or ashamed or guilty or in pain? Would you even understand if someone said to us that in Lodibar, the sun rises, but it does not shine? And there are people in the world today who could have been or would have been professors and scholars and lawyers and nurses and doctors and scientists and pastors, a good spouse, a good parent, a good student, but someone made a promise and then dropped them, abused them, did them wrong, and it crippled them so much that it affected their homes, their marriages, their kids, their finances, their emotions, and their spirits. Because when someone drops us like that, we get to a point where we say nothing, and the silence is as painful as the fall. It is this silence that has to be broken, because too many of us are walking around with our mouths closed, bottling up feelings of hurt and pain and shame that is destroying our lives. Silence brought about by shame. And the thing about shame is that there is no pill for it. No doctor can heal your shame. Shame is personal, and it stops us from doing more. It stops us from climbing higher. And so we punish ourselves and we self-medicate and we sentence ourselves to a life in Lodibar. And self-sentence is the worst kind of punishment, because then you really believe that you belong in Lodibar. But if we break the shame, we can break the silence. And God, as the ideal boss who works to restore, wants to do a new thing in our life. And the good news is that He wants us. God wants us, irrespective of that which has crippled us. God wants to get us out of Lodibar. He wants to get us out of fear. He wants to get us out of shame. He wants to get us out of bitterness and anxiety. He wants to get us out of silence and intimidation, insecurity and pain. He wants us to leave Lodibar. It is time to leave Lodibar. And though we may be broken, we leave. Hurt, but leaving. Confused, but leaving. Crippled, but leaving. Because God has a better place for us. And even while in Lodibar, He seeks us and He will find us. Because the ideal boss will also find us. And upon learning that Mephibosheth was in Lodibar, David sent to have him brought. Mephibosheth, so crippled that he needed help to step into his destiny. Lodibar is the kind of place where we cannot live by ourselves. Because when being dropped has taken a toll, and a person is weighed down by guilt and shame, by if only, by if I woulda, I shoulda, I coulda. When these emotions take over, it is difficult for anyone to escape Lodibar. It is hard to get out of Lodibar, and we need help to get us out. But the beauty is that God is not some absentee landlord. He knows exactly where we are, and He will find us, and He will rescue us out of despair and hopelessness. Everybody else may have forgotten us, but God knows exactly where we are, and He knows just what we need when we need it. God has not forgotten us. God has our address, and He has a plan. From the very foundation of the world, God's plan was to restore His people. And He will always send someone to Lodibar to lead us out. And what a blessing it is to know that even in our darkest valleys, our soul has a shepherd who wants nothing more than to lead us to green pastures, that we don't have to use drugs, that we don't have to live in guilt and shame, we don't even have to commit suicide, because God wants us just as we are, and He wants to bless us. And so the men are on the way to find Mephibosheth, and they're calling his name, Mephibosheth, 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 and you can put your own name in right there. Serena, 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 the king wants to see you. And whenever you hear the word that the king has sent for you, it is time to bust a move. That we leave broken, we leave hurt, we pack our bags and we leave and we tell the devil goodbye. We are not staying anymore. Pack your joy, take your shame, take your joy back, take your peace back, take your happiness back and leave Lodibar. Because the ideal boss will restore us. Mephibosheth was brought to King David's palace. And he is before the king as the benefactor of a powerful friendship and an eternal blood covenant. And David says to him, "Do not be afraid, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father. I will restore to you what belonged to your grandfather, and you will eat at my table." And in response to all of that blessing, Mephibosheth says this. He says, "Who am I that you would notice a dead dog like me?" He's afraid to trust. He's afraid to believe, and his infirmity had become his identity. And I remember God's call on my life to preach his word, and I looked up and I laughed at God. I thought God was crazy. And I said, "God, I wouldn't choose me. You can do better than me. I am no good. Go find someone else." Because we can easily allow our seasons of hurt and shame and pain to become our identity. Mephibosheth, like many of us today, had such a low view of himself. He thought he had no value. And he had no concept of who he was. He had no idea of his history or who he was connected to. The king wanted to make him the benefactor, and all he saw was his unworthiness. Mephibosheth means shame, confusion, scattered, broken in pieces. He did not feel worthy or significant, although he was indeed heir to the throne. But he was living in poverty and listening to people who called him out of his name. What have we referred ourselves to? Ugly? Stupid? No good? Worthless? Addict? Outcast? Poor? Nothing? Or maybe we say, "I didn't graduate from university. I had an affair. My clothes are not good enough. I'm divorced. I'm unemployed. I can't speak well. I don't look like them." Or maybe we say something even worse. And the enemy uses all of these to steal moments and opportunities that God wants to bestow upon us. How many times have we said no to an opportunity when we should have said yes? All because we believe that we are not good enough. When was the last time someone called Mephibosheth son, or blessed, or beautiful, or child of the king? When was the last time you looked at yourself and saw beauty? You saw someone special. You saw someone who was fearfully and wonderfully made. You saw God's beloved. And you said to yourself, "I am the righteousness of God in Christ." When was the last time you said that about yourself? And part of the beauty of the text is is that King David did not respond to the negative comment, but he turned to the servant and he said that you and your servant and your sons will serve Mephibosheth. And isn't that just how God is? That when we come all negative, God already knows who we are and that he wants us and he wants to elevate us to the place that he has willed for us, a seat at his table. The Bible tells us that Mephibosheth was restored to what already belonged to him in the first place. Too many people are limping around in Lodibar with no knowledge of who they are in Christ Jesus and how blessed we can be when we allow him to enter into our hearts and simply believe that we are heir to the throne. We are the children of God. And we need a pasture, we need communication, and we need to know about the promises of God because it is the king's desire that his children are blessed. It's time to leave Lodibar. God wants to welcome us home. He is calling the limp, he's calling the broken, the scared, and the disabled to sit at his table. A God who promises that he will restore the year that the palmer worm and the canker worm and the locust destroyed. God who will restore everything that the enemy has taken from us. A faithful God. A faithful God. A faithful God. Because had it not been for this God on our side, we would have died a long time ago in Lodibar. But the absolute beauty of this text is not so much that we can relate to Mephibosheth, nor is it so much what David did for Mephibosheth, but it is the spiritual application of this text. This story of Mephibosheth's redemption and restoration is also our story. That a long time ago in a beautiful garden called Eden, humanity fell and became crippled. And God sent his son Jesus to fetch us out of Lodibar so that you and I can sit at the heavenly table. And this was Mephibosheth's story, but as I spoke about him, I was drawing from me. And you too can draw from this story because in this story, you and I can actually become one with the text. Mephibosheth, he was lying on the floor, but he was called to a chair. And getting him up off the floor is getting me up off the floor, and it is getting you up off the floor. It's a second chance that by the blood of Jesus we deserve, but because of the situation, we cannot begin to imagine that God would want our wretched selves at his table. And although we cannot begin to imagine how God would want us, how God would desire our crippled self in this way, still we begin crawling between those two realities, trying to make it to the chair that God is calling us up to. And it is our crawl day by day that gets us to take a rightful place at the feet of God's table. And so we crawl against the resistance of the winds, and we crawl against the resistance of the storms of life. We crawl against the shame and the pull of Lodibar calling us to return. And still we hold on to the grip that Jesus has on us. And we look to him And he calls us to keep moving, to crawl if we must. And he's saying it does not have to look dignified. It's okay to cry your entire way there, just as long as we keep crawling. And so now when people tell me that they admire me or they see me as a role model, I do better with my response. And the truth is, I still cringe on the inside a bit. But I know this now. I know that I have God's grace, and I know that I have God's love. And the truth is that there are still things that trigger my emotions, and Lodibar comes to my mind. And sometimes I visit Lodibar, but it is different then, because I hear God saying, come on, baby girl, this is not your home anymore. And it's easier for me to turn my back and to declare over myself, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God working to restore us is not just about our conversion from sinners to saints. It's about restoring the broken places in our lives. And finally, we get it. I get it. That victory and triumph and restoration, just like Mephibosheth, can be our story, and we can finally come to a place where we can lay down in green pastures. The ideal boss who works to show us that he cares, that he is reliable, that he gives meaningful work, that he rebukes with a purpose, that he is relational, is also a God who works to restore you and I, so that we can finally come to a place where we see ourselves at the king's table, eating with the other king's children. And when we look up, we realize that all of us, we look the same. Redeemed and restored children of the Most High God. The ideal boss who works to restore. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you can touch the deepest places of our hearts, souls, and minds. That while we were still in Lodibar, hiding between pain and shame and hurt, you sent your son to rescue us. And so God, we ask that you would help us to receive your free gift. And that wherever it hurts, wherever it is broken, whatever needs healing, God, that you would touch those deep places, that you would help us to become vulnerable and to be aware of the places in our lives where we still look towards Lodibar, where we still are trapped in Lodibar. And God, we ask and we thank you that you would deliver your people so that we can sit at your table as heirs to the throne. God, we give you thanks and we give you glory for being the ideal boss. It is that boss who we put our hope and our trust in. And we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.